Now, the Buckeye Extra Podcast with Rob Aller, Bill Rabinowitz, and Joey Kaufman from the Columbus Dispatch.
The Buckeye Extra Podcast is brought to you by Rosati Windows, Central Ohio's number one replacement window company.
Hello, listeners. This is Joey Kaufman from the Dispatch. I'm joined by columnist Rob Aller, fellow beat reporter Bill Rabinowitz. It's Monday, May 3rd. Over the weekend, Ohio State had 10 players selected in the NFL draft. And for those of you who are listening to this podcast, may have listened to the last one, which has an in-depth breakdown of Justin Fields and going to the Chicago Bears with Kevin Fishbane from The Athletic, who's the Bears beat reporter there. But now the draft is fully in the rearview mirror. We're going to contextualize all 10 draftees of Ohio State, their landing spots. Bill, Rob, I guess we probably could work our way down the order and start with Justin Fields. And Rob, you wrote a column about Justin Fields that appeared in Sunday's paper, talking about whether he can be the first Ohio State quarterback to really succeed in the NFL. And he didn't have a whole lofty bar to clear, really.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? If we're all honest, we don't know. I mean, that doesn't make for great listening, but anybody who tries to say that, oh, they know for sure he's going to make it has not followed history. There have been so many guys that haven't made it. My gut tells me that he'll be successful. I don't know if that means he's going to be a Hall of Famer. As I wrote, Mike Tomczak is the best NFL quarterback to come out of Ohio State. No slam at Tomczak. That's a kind of a low bar. And really, there's nobody that really even comes close. I mean, Art Schliester maybe had the most potential, although he threw a lot of interceptions in his short time in the NFL. Who knows? I won't go down that road in terms of were they intentional interceptions. You never know with Art. But, you know, speaking of Art, I think he gets out of prison in Ohio in September. So he's got his gambling addiction. That did him in. But, you know, they just haven't had the coaching in terms of the system, the offensive system maybe that has been needed to really produce a super, you know, A-plus quarterback. Although you say that and then you look at Michigan, Tom Brady comes out of Michigan, the greatest ever, and I wouldn't say the Wolverines were, like, you know, pass happy. So I think it's a bit of a crapshoot. It's just a head scratcher that Ohio State has been so lean when it comes to quarterbacks succeeding in the NFL.
Yeah, Kent Graham actually had an okay NFL career, nothing special, but, you know, serviceable. But you think other than Schliester and Dwayne Haskins, and the jury's still, you know, out on that. Obviously, it's not been an auspicious start for him in the NFL, but it's not too late to salvage it. You know, there haven't been the blue chip guy that you would expect to be an NFL star. You know, Troy Smith was viewed as being more of a college quarterback. He was, I think, the last pick of the fifth round by the Ravens after his Heisman year. So, you know, he was never thought of as a guy who was definitely going to make it in the NFL. Now, who knows with Schliester? I mean, you know, that's unknowable if his demons hadn't caught up with him. I think Fields is the most talented quarterback Ohio State's had. And Rob, you said it. I mean, this is the first time that Ohio State's quarterback has really played in a true pro system. I mean, yeah, Haskins did, you know, his year, but again, that was 1 year, and like, wait and see how his career unfolds. But this is the Ryan Day offense is much different than the Urban Meyer offense. And we'll see now, because now he's recruiting to this kind of player. The guys that are now there are really pro-style, NFL-style quarterbacks. So we thought that Haskins would be the first of that wave. We'll see. I think Fields is a much better prospect than Dwayne Haskins. First of all, he's a much better runner. I think he's more determined. I think he is a single-minded guy in terms of being obsessed with succeeding in the NFL. You know, I think Haskins wants to succeed. I'm not sure their personality is the same. He's a more laid back personality. I think Fields is a guy who will do whatever it takes. Now, you know, you mentioned Ohio State having a low bar for quarterbacks. Well, the team is going to, is, man, oh, man, that, the history of Chicago Bears quarterbacks after Jim McMahon, who, of course, led them to their Super Bowl championship. Oh, my goodness.
Ironically, Mike Tomczak played for the Bears and had his
He
won his first 10 games as a starter, which was an NFL record until Roethlisberger broke it at 13, which is one of those weird trivia nuggets that Mike Tomczak played, was in the NFL record books.
But he played
as a starter. He was 10-0 his first start then on. So
my Tomczak,
right, the Bears don't have much.
No. When I was covering the NFL and Tomczak was with the Steelers then, and I remember taking a cab to the game or a cab somewhere, and we're talking about the game, and the guy called Tom, he's a gunslinger. He'll fire away. He doesn't care where it's going, but he'll fire away.
He does have quite a few interceptions.
But the Bears' history is just awful. So you have this marriage now of a quarterback coming from a program that hasn't produced NFL quarterbacks. The only position Ohio State has that has not produced a litany of great quarterbacks to a team that's just star-crossed when it comes to quarterback.
I kind of think, and Rob, you touched on this a little bit, but Ohio State's reputation as being a program that has not produced great quarterbacks is in the NFL a little bit unfair, and it will be interesting if Justin Fields can shatter that narrative a little bit. But they haven't really produced guys in the NFL that you would expect to be a great quarterback. And I covered USC previously, you guys know that. And they put guys in the NFL like Matt Leiner. He was a top 10 pick and was a bust. Mark Sanchez was the number 4 overall pick. He was a bust. Sam Darnold was picked third a couple years ago by the Jets and hasn't panned out yet. Kind of like Dwayne Haskins, the jury's still out on him. But NFL teams haven't really invested resources in picking Ohio State quarterbacks really high, and they haven't panned out. So I don't know. There hasn't been this track record of guys not fulfilling NFL potential that they once had. A lot of the quarterbacks that went through Ohio State were not really groomed to be NFL passers. It was a conservative offense for a lot of years, and Ryan Day's maybe changing that with Justin Fields. I do think he's going to a good situation in Chicago, even though they haven't had the history of quarterback development. Matt Nagy, his coach, tutored Patrick Mahomes as a rookie in Kansas City. So I think there is hope for Justin Fields to break that narrative of Ohio State quarterbacks, which may be a little bit undeserved.
We should point out real quickly that Ohio State has recruited some top-notch quarterbacks. How soon we forget, because they didn't do much. But Justin Zwick was like top 5 recruit. Terrell Pryor was a top, right, top 5 recruit. Now, were they traditional? Well, I guess Zwick was sort of a traditional pro-style guy. But they didn't run the type of offense. Jim Tressel didn't run the type of offense to really, like a Ryan Day where your quarterback's highlighted. I just think a lot of this, too, is, Tomczak told me it's 50-50, right? I mean, it's where you go, it's right place, right time, right fit. And, if you played the game for 200 years, Ohio State might have some Tom Brady's come through there. But it's still a fairly small sample size. And when you throw in the factors you guys have talked about of the type of program and all that, well – no, I guess it's not that shocking that they don't have somebody. It's a little surprising they don't maybe have one, though.
I think
not shocking, surprising.
Yeah, it'll be, I've said over and over on different things that it's much more important where you go than when you go in the draft. The situation that you go to is so much more important than going as high as you can in the draft, because your own talent is only one part of the equation. It is the scheme, the coaching, the teammates. Do you stay healthy? Do you stay focused? Do you let the distractions of being a pro athlete get to you? There are so many factors beyond your talent that will determine whether you are successful as an NFL quarterback. And that's the part that Justin Fields really has no control over. He can control what he can do, but it's a team game, and it's 22 players, and if he doesn't have the supporting cast around him, he doesn't have the right coaches around him, he doesn't stay healthy, none of that matters. So I think he's got as good a chance as you can have. And I think it's absurd, honestly, that he fell to 11 in the draft. I mean, I don't think I'm being a homer about this. I just think that it's, especially, you know, fifth quarterback, fourth quarterback. I mean, I don't get it, but I think NFL teams overthink this stuff. But did they not watch him?
Here's the tricky part about NFL quarterbacks, and you guys could help. My memory loss is worse every day, but it's really challenging to go into a place and fail or get beat up. I think of, you know, Tim Couch in Cleveland, many examples. And I'm trying to think of an example where a guy came out and really didn't have success and then switched teams and had success. There have been guys like Peyton Manning who, they were terrible early and then the team turned it around, and Troy Aikman. But I'm talking about individual
failure. Ryan Tannehill. Brett Favre.
Yeah, but he got traded, Yeah, but there are more guys that seemingly, because they either gun-shy or they get out of the gate and it doesn't go well, it's just a downward spiral.
Well, I think teams nowadays in the NFL are more likely than ever to give up on guys early on. I mean, look at Washington, how quickly they moved on for Dwayne Haskins. He didn't make it a full 2 years. Sam Darnold didn't make it very long in New York. And you look at the NFL this year, they drafted five quarterbacks in the first 15 picks. So I think they tend to recycle and recycle quicker. You don't get that second chance as often now. I mean, there's a very strong likelihood Dwayne Haskins will never be a starting quarterback again in the league because he just won't get that opportunity. There are only 32 spots, and next year they're probably going to draft four other quarterbacks in the top 20 picks and go with those guys, because each time you draft a new quarterback, it gives your general manager and a coach more job security. Well, they can say they can sell hope. Here's a rookie. And so I think that is the challenge for a lot of these younger quarterbacks nowadays in the NFL, is you don't really get an opportunity to last a couple of years and learn from your mistakes. You got to show potential really from a rookie or your second year. Yeah, let's any other final thoughts on Justin Fields before we take a break? And we got nine other picks. If you want to delve into those.
The only thing I would say is, and I don't know if it's a durability issue, but he has been injured. I mean, he has not been injury free. I don't know what that means. I'm not trying to knock him. That's a fact that he has been injured. And so, you know, factor that in maybe.
Well, he played through the injuries.
Yeah, no, you could look at it. You could look at it both ways. You could say, "Yeah, he's a guy who's been hurt. He sprained his knee as a sophomore at Ohio State. He injured his thumb in the Big Ten title game. He's had the rib issue, but I mean, he doesn't get hurt if a guy doesn't spear his head into his rib cage. So, and he played through those injuries. So I think to me, he seems like a well-adjusted quarterback for Chicago, because that's an environment where." And that's a quarterback wasteland, and a big reason why is because you get the wind, you get the cold. It's not – you're not playing in a controlled weather environment like Lucas Oil Stadium or where the Vikings play up there, where you don't have to deal with the elements as much. He's going to deal with those in Chicago, and he dealt with those pretty well at Ohio State. He didn't ever play really in a snow bowl-like situation, but the Michigan game in 2019 was cold, and Michigan State was cold last year, so I guess we'll see. Hey, let's take a quick break and hear word from our sponsor. You have to stand behind a statement like the best buying experience in the business. At Rosati Windows, their commitment to the customer has not changed since day one. Mike Rosati realizes that people have options when choosing replacement windows, which is why he appreciates each and every one of their customers. At Rosati Windows, they pride themselves on the very high standards of business ethics and customer satisfaction. They are accredited with an A+ rating with the Better Business Bureau, a top business with customer choice, and voted by Central Ohio as the best business in the window community with the Columbus Dispatch. That list goes on, but it's important to point out their customers voted for Rosati Windows for these awards, and it's why they make a statement like, "Rosati Windows is the best buying experience in the business."
Yeah, the last thing I want to say about Justin Fields is if he's the best quarterback overall all around that I've ever seen play for Ohio State. So if he can't make it in the NFL, I don't know, you know, what you do for Ohio State to, like, produce a guy that will make it. I think that falls to Bill's point of there's so many other variables, right? I mean, the Bears are not at the moment a great organization, what you call a great organization, but nowhere to go but up, maybe, for Justin Fields.
I will say this for Ohio State. They're probably going to get a couple stabs of this in future years because you look at the way they recruit, they have 4 or 5 stars in every class. They have Kyle McCord. If Quinn Ewers coming in, you have C.J. Stroud, Jack Miller. At the current rate they're developing quarterbacks, you're going to put a guy in the league every few years, and maybe one of them is the guy to break the mold, if not Justin Fields. This was a little bit of an odd draft for Ohio State in some ways because normally we're accustomed to seeing maybe a couple guys going on Thursday night, and that did not happen. It was – the stage was only Justin Fields. He was the only Ohio State player picked among the first 32 picks. And it was the first time since 2015 that no other Ohio State player was picked in the first round. They've had multiple first-rounders in 2016, 17, 18, 19, and last year when Jeff Okuda and Chase Young were both in the top three. So we had to wait and watch until Friday came, and then all of a sudden a lot of guys came off the board. It was a deep draft for Ohio State, but not a top-heavy draft.
Yeah, the second Ohio State guy wasn't taken until Josh Myers went with the 60th pick. So after 11, it was almost 2 rounds went by without an Ohio State player being taken. I'm mildly surprised that Josh Myers was the next guy. Not shocked, but a little bit surprised. I thought Wyatt Davis would probably be that guy. I thought Baron Browning might be. Josh Myers is funny. He's going to replace Corey Linsley. At least that's the plan in Green Bay. Corey Linsley, former Ohio State center, also wore number 71 as a Buckeye, signed as a free agent with the Chargers. And so the Packers drafted Josh Myers, hoping that he will snap the ball to Aaron Rodgers. And that's another situation. That's not our issue, but that's a rather big topic up in Cheesehead Land. And then 2 picks later, who went with 62?
You skipped over Pete Warner.
Oh, Pete. Yeah. Okay. Pete Warner was the guy. Right. I'm sorry.
Pete Warner went with Josh Myers.
Right. I'm sorry. Sorry, Pete.
He'll never forgive you. The slight that you've given him on this podcast. Yeah. Just going to fuel him and give him a chip on his shoulder.
Yeah. Yeah. New Orleans has long been Ohio State South. He's joining, 4 of the Buckeyes, Michael Thomas and Malcolm Jenkins, Nick Vinette, and help me, guys.
Lattimore.
Marshawn Lattimore, of course. Thank you. I think he's going to be a terrific player. He's a very solid player in the NFL. Pete Warner, very versatile, very athletic, very smart, instinctive. I think he's going to have a long career. And then, of course, was Josh Myers. I'm sorry about that. And then Baron Browning, and it was funny, is Urban Meyer all but admitted Baron Browning went with the last pick of the third round after Trey Sermon went to San Francisco. But Baron Browning went to the Broncos, and Urban Meyer basically said the next day that they were going to pick Baron Browning with the first pick of the fourth round until he was taken with the last pick the night before. So, an interesting draft.
We've talked about this before, but I do feel for Sean Wade. I mean, that guy, now he can make up for it. They'll always tell you it doesn't matter as long as you get drafted, as long as you get in the league, that you can make your money after that, prove yourself. But, there's a guy that he comes back, Buckeye Nation loves it. And then soon as you drop in the draft, Buckeye Nation turns, it's like, oh, he should have gone, right? It's just like you can't win in that situation. And, Joey said it. I think he played out of position. So we'll see if maybe he kind of regains form in the NFL moving what he was in slot. He'll probably move into or out of slot.
back to the slot.
The Ravens talked about playing him in the slot when they introduced their day three picks on Saturday. The general manager there referenced him as a slot corner and a nickel corner. And I'm surprised that Sean Wade still lasted into the fifth round. I think we knew he was going to drop toward the middle rounds. He wasn't a first round pick anymore, as many people thought he might be if he had come out a year ago. But I think there are a lot of reasons you could have still made a case for him to go on late in the third round, even because, look, I mean, yes, he struggled as an outside corner last year, but he was injured. And he also played very well as a slot corner in 2019. And that's a valuable position in the NFL as well. It's not as if that position brings you no value. You're going to be – it's in some ways a difficult task to defend some of those slot guys in the NFL who are really fast. Teams are in nickel and dime a lot in the pros. So if he was all of a sudden a second round guy in 2020 based on his 2019 year, I don't know if it merited a four round drop. I mean, maybe he wasn't a first round guy in the first place, but I still think he brings a lot of value to a team.
What's interesting is he said in his interview with Ravens media that he talked about the injuries. He had knee injury. He had turf toe. If you're a corner, that really can affect you. He also mentioned that he'd had some deaths in his family. A cousin, his grandmother died. And you could kind of tell from what he said that he was distracted last year. And understandably, you know, you go through some losses like that, plus the COVID stuff. Now, everyone was dealing with that, of course. And it wasn't like he was terrible last year. He had a pick six against Indiana, right? I mean, you know, he made some plays. I mean, the Penn State game, he got beat a couple times. There are other times, you know, Alabama. Yeah, I mean, Alabama's spectacular. So it was a disappointing year. I think that's a fair statement. But it's not like his talent disappeared. And assuming he's healthy now, every reason to think that he can be, you know, a really good player. I mean, imagine the odds. If you'd have said, let's say, when the season started up, when the Big Ten reinstated that season, if you were going to say Luke Farrell is going to be drafted ahead of Sean Wade, you know, in the fifth round, I mean, nobody would have believed you.
Well, if we went back to last year's podcast, I mean, let's face it. We all said that the number one piece when he came back, when he said he was returning, that was like, he's the glue on defense. That's right. The most important returning guy. That's huge. And, you know, it also brings into suspicion the awards season, because he won defensive
player of the year in the Big Ten. I mean, it tells you, look.
But player of the year in the Big Ten, yeah, which is reputation-based, you know.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, Northwestern had a couple really good cornerbacks, including, you know, Newsom, who went to the Browns. So coaches would, you know, they know their stuff. Maybe coaches who watch the tape thought that Sean Wade played much better than outsiders did. I don't know. You know, how much of that is a reputation award? You know, you're there a couple of years and people expect you to be good. That's half the battle sometimes.
And I remember a lot of the voting for those awards came before the postseason. So they were voting for that in mid-December, before the Alabama game, before the Clemson game, and some of those issues pop up for Sean Wade. Cause he really struggled in the playoff, and that was when he had the turf toe injury. He told me last week that he heard it in the Big Ten title game. I do think last year was, if you're an NFL team, and I'm curious how this draft will be looked at in 5 years, but because I think evaluating prospects last season had to be very difficult. For one, scouts couldn't travel. Two, you had opt-outs. I think at one point the 20% of the first picks at one point, I don't remember if it was after the first round or the second round, were opt-outs. You had all these opt-outs, and you had players who had trying circumstances to play through, like Sean Wade did with family members dying. I think there was a mental health toll that the pandemic had. And how do you evaluate that? How much did Sean Wade's performance suffer due to all the stuff he was dealing with off the field and in his personal life? I don't know exactly the answer to that, but it seems like it had some effect, and maybe when you remove injury, maybe you get him in a more stable situation where you're not dealing with a lot of those off the field issues. He regains his form. Maybe he's not meant to be an outside corner. Maybe he hasn't developed the way he's supposed to. I don't know, but I think it speaks to how difficult it was to evaluate this last draft class. And I wonder if we're going to see more misses in the earlier rounds and more diamonds in the rough in the later rounds than in a typical season.
He's also going to a good situation. Baltimore, of course, has a history of great defense, and they're good at figuring out how to maximize their defensive players, making them, allowing them to do what they do best and kind of hiding their flaws. So I think that is a very good situation for him to go to.
It seems in general, a lot of Ohio State's guys went to pretty good situations. If you look at just the teams they went to, Baron Browning and Jonathan Cooper are both going to the Denver Broncos, where they're going to play with Vic Fangio, who's former defensive coordinator for the Bears and has a good defensive mind. Josh Myers is going to Green Bay. Pete Warner's going to New Orleans. Sean Wade's going to Baltimore. They're going to pretty good franchises. You didn't see a lot of guys picked by the Jets or the Giants or the Eagles or the Texans. It seemed like, for the most part, if you were going to – they're going to all very competent NFL franchises for the most part. Trey Sermon's going to play in Kyle Shanahan's offense. So I think if you're trying to prioritize – the destination rather than maybe just the slot and the draft you get picked, I think a lot of these Ohio State prospects have a lot to like.
One of the surprises to me was that Justin Hilliard was not taken. I thought he would be. I thought the way he played late in his 2020 season would have gotten him drafted. He was a real force at the end. Northwestern game in particular, he was really good. He was good against Clemson. I'm not sure anybody was good against Alabama, but that was the one that surprised me. I'm not surprised Tough Boylan didn't get drafted just because of the speed. You know, he's not a fast guy. And then kickers rarely go. So I wasn't surprised that Drew Crispin or Blake Hobbio were not taken. But I was surprised that Justin Hill, that somebody didn't take a flyer on him. Now, he signed, he's going to get his chance. But it's, you know, that was the surprise to me.
San Francisco gave Justin Hilliard a good little bit of money, too. It wasn't your typical undrafted free agent signing. NFL Network said that he's getting a free agent deal that had a $30,000 signing bonus and a base salary guarantee of like $95,000, which seems pretty good. So it shows that they're giving him a real shot to make the roster. And sometimes you want to get drafted. You want to go as an undrafted guy rather than just being a late seventh-round pick. So I think it could work out for Justin Hilliard, regardless of him not getting picked up by a team in the late seventh round.
You know, it's stuff like the draft that always brings perspective to my mind, in that, you know, we laugh about Tough Boylan. We make him kind of the butt of jokes in terms of he's not fast and all that. I think he ran – like a 5.40.
Something like 4.99,
4.98. 4.99. People do not realize how fast that is. That is not slow, listeners. That is really fast. Now, by NFL standards, it might be a little slow and for his position, but I bet that's 90%+ of the entire population could not run that. I mean,
90,
the guy
99.
Yeah, right. Not well, 90 plus, I said 90 plus. Well, you take all the track people, but that is not moving slowly. So it shows you how fast Bill covered the NFL. It shows you how fast everyone in the NFL is. And when you hear a guy ran five, like a quarterback who runs 5.00, I mean, that guy can run away from people, but you get in the NFL and the linebackers run 4.06.
Yeah. Well, I remember the first college game I really covered was the LSU-Ohio State National Championship game after covering the Browns and Bengals. And it looked to me like the game was in slow motion. It was just because I was so used to the NFL. And you just realize what a difference it is. And then you, in the NFL and in the college game, running backs have huge holes. They just do. Quarterbacks have big windows to throw to. The kind of thing that make you go, well, if I, you know, had the arm, I could make that throw in college, because the guys generally are that open. In the NFL, the windows to throw in are so small and they close so fast. Same with the blocking, with the holes. They're there and then they're gone. And if you don't either have the vision or the patience or the burst, forget it. You know, that's why I think Trey Sermon has a chance to be a good NFL running back, because he's got good vision. He's got the strength to break tackles, and he has, you know, he's got the patience. He'll wait for the holes to open up. I think pure speed for a running back is overrated. How many times do you really see a guy go 70 yards in the NFL just on a carry? Hardly ever happens. Give me a guy who can make a 3 yard gain into seven, and that guy's going to be successful. I think Trey Sermon can be that kind of guy.
Or a guy who can make people miss, Barry Sanders, who had speed.
Yeah, there's one Barry Sanders.
Well, right, but I'm just saying the ability to, you know, O.J. Simpson had that. Like he said, no one ever hit him really hard because he could just – he had like an innate ability to kind of glanced off guys. So you're right, it's not just speed. But my point, I guess, is that, you know, 5.49 is really fast.
Yeah. Tough Borland would outrun any of us.
Exactly.
And you know, he'll get a chance. He'll get into training camp. He'll, you know, there might be a spot for him depending on the team and the situation. You know, yeah, I mean I do feel bad for Tough Borland because he was in certain ways kind of the poster child for the defensive issues Ohio State had, and like the Alabama game, when you know the poor guy had to try to cover. I mean, you know, you can't cover a Heisman Trophy winner. You know, if you're a linebacker, it's just not fair.
Not if you only run a 5 flat.
Yeah.
I'd love to know what Chris Spielman's 40 time was.
Yeah,
because there's a guy that. Now, right. I don't think it was probably now, much better. Yes. I don't think it was much better than 5 flat. I don't know.
Before we're trying to look it up right now.
We have a couple minutes left. Other than Ohio State, I think any other thoughts on the draft? I mean, one thing that stood out to me was Michigan State did not have a player selected for the first time since World War II. They had an 80-year streak of getting guys drafted and –
That
speaks to the talent gap in the Big Ten that we've talked about in the past, too. I mean, 10 Ohio State guys get picked, 0 Michigan State guys. Michigan had a handful of guys pick, too. But, I mean, I don't know. Just
what about your old stopping grounds? I saw a great tweet that USC in the top 100 guy, they had one guy go in the top 100, and North Dakota State had two.
Yeah, but this, I mean, it speaks more to the old Pac-12. I mean, that's your flagship program. It'd be like if Ohio State had one guy go in the top 100.
How about the Big 12 not having a guy until, what was it, middle of the second round or something like that? Nobody from the entire conference. By the way, Chris Spielman, according to what I just found quickly, ran a 4.9 flat at the combine.
Yeah.
And now, the game is faster now than it was then, but it's you know – Chris Spielman would be able to play in today's NFL.
Yeah.
The other piece of news, non-draft related with Ohio State, is the departure of wide receiver Jameson Williams, who announced today that he would go to Alabama. It was funny. Michigan was one of the schools that was rumored to be one of his possible destinations. Alabama, which, of course, lost a decent amount of talent, but they're still Alabama. I think that's going to be fascinating to see what his role might be there.
I mean, it shows you how deep Ohio State's wide receiver room is, how loaded they are at that position, that a player in Jameson Williams is leaving to go to Alabama to play, to get more playing time.
Right.
Just a remarkable sentence just to realize. But, I mean, he wasn't going to start in next season. I mean, you have Garrett Wilson outside. You have Chris Olave outside. You have Jackson Smith at Najigba in line to move into the slot. You have Marvin Harrison Jr. who's come on outside. Jameson Williams is a junior, and now there's the one-time transfer rule. So if you are going to be in the second line and think you should be in the first line somewhere else, you can go play. And he's going to go play at Alabama. They do have some returning guys. A receiver, John Metchie, the third, was their second leading receivers. Back, Slade Bolden, who started in place of Jalen Waddle last year when Waddle was out with the ankle injury. He is back, but a little less firepower at wide receiver there. So he might get a chance at least early on in the year to get on the field and be a starter. But we will see. I mean, it'll be interesting. I don't know if Ohio State loves him going to Alabama, you never – I mean, those teams might play in a title game, and that'll be a fun subplot if that happens. Bill, Rob, we have a couple minutes before Zoom kicks us out. I think 2 minutes to be exact. Any other parting thoughts you want to give to listeners other than to visit our website, subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify?
Well, yeah, I mean, just in the draft in general, I thought, you know, it was hosted in Cleveland, and I don't know what you guys thought, but this whole people, fans sitting in chairs thing was just the most ridiculous. Joey, maybe you liked it. You liked the schmaltz, but I just thought it was sort of pointless. I wasn't a big fan of that part of it.
It was, why would you think I would like it? I thought it was hokey.
Well, the draft is great. I mean, the draft, to me, I mean, it can be like watching paint dry. Well, let's not kid ourselves. Just as it drags on, you get to the fifth round. Oh, it's just, but people love it. I mean, it's it used to be at best a cottage industry, and now it's like as soon as the season ends, people go crazy over the draft. I don't quite get it, but – that's okay.
The draft is content, and we are all for content. So thank you for
I'll tell you what, next year, let's speculate just for a second. I know time's running out.
There's no time to speculate.
We are out.
Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, Aaron Munford, Zach Harrison, Nicholas Petit-Frere.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, the time's going to – I'm going to get kicked off here. But those are, off the top of my head, guys who are could go pretty high in the draft next year.
Well, I think that would be a great fodder for another podcast. We've run out of time. We will talk to you listeners soon. Thank you for listening, everybody.
The Buckeye Extra Podcast is made possible by Rosati Windows, Central Ohio's number one replacement window company.
Be sure and subscribe to the Buckeye Extra Podcast in the iTunes Store, the Google Play Store, or on Stitcher.